Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program of Two Guys with Hearts. Get your pen and paper out. Take some good notes. We have some powerful scripture for you to read today. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we have a fantastic weekend lined up for our listeners. We had a good set of visitors with us yesterday. I think we're going to do it again today. What do you think?
I think that was so good that people would say, hey, have them on a couple more times. Come on, that was good.
Well, we have two guys with heart, but with us today also, we have two ladies with heart. Our wives have joined us today. Kathy, say hello for our listeners.
Hello, this is a gal with heart.
And hello, I'm Judy, and it's very nice to be back with you again today.
Hey, thank you, ladies. We really appreciate you joining us. We had a powerful, a very powerful program yesterday on scripture, on prayer, and the power that we find in God. Well, we're going to follow up on that process today. Does God really talk to people? That was one of the questions that we were hem-hauling around with. Do we want to try to tackle that one? Well, let's see what the scriptures say about it. Let's read from Genesis first in chapter 3. What does it say about God talking to people? It reads, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord did speak to them." Genesis chapter 3, verse 8.
In Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And then he said, Here am I."
Wow. That's a powerful scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 22 reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven." So the Lord is talking to the people all the way back at Exodus 20.
And then in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12, "And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice."
Here's a good one for you. Out of Isaiah chapter 30, "And thine ears hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." That's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It reads that way.
You know, I will have to admit, I have never heard the audible voice of God speaking to me. But God speaks to us in other ways nowadays. I know with me it was this way, and I tell my grandchildren all the time, you don't always know the will of God instantly, because the Bible tells us to seek his will. But for some reason or other, God lets you know when it's not the way to go as his children, and we're relying on him for guidance. We know when it's not the way to go, but we don't always know instantly what God's will is. So he speaks to us through our feelings. We just feel that this is not right, or, oh, wow, this is right. Thank you, God, I'm going to do that. So sometimes that's how he speaks to us nowadays, is through our feelings, just knowing right from wrong.
I even had God speak to me through a dream. I know one time I was actually going to be fired, and he sent a dream to me. And somehow that dream prepared me, and it wasn't quite as bad as it would have been. It was devastating, but it wasn't quite as bad as it would have been if I wouldn't have had that dream come to me.
God talks to us in a lot of different ways. I mean, I can remember the conversation we had when we were sitting in the pastor's home in Barbados, and they asked us if we were willing to come and spend a year at their church. Judy and I were stunned and sat there for a few moments wondering, how were we going to do that? How could we leave America and go to Barbados and spend time? And our children were part of our lives, and they were wanting to go to Bible college, and that was going to cost money, and we were going to go to Barbados for free as missionaries. You have to know that it's God. He has to be able to speak to you in a way that says, wow, that was God. And God said, go, and we did. And we stayed more than 1 year. We stayed 3 years and walked away from that, and then had to listen again to see if God was really telling us that we were to go to Iowa. I said, God, I'm ready to leave Barbados. There's 50 states, and why are you wanting us to go to Iowa?
I was praying for Hawaii.
And all it was pigs and corn and beans. And we learned a lot about farming. We had a bunch of farmers come to our church. And at the end of 7 years, you know, I told the Lord when we went there, I said, God, I will never leave Iowa for at least 7 years. So don't call me. Don't even let the phone ring. And you know, for 7 years, nobody ever called. Nobody ever was interested. And then the seventh year, and when it turned seven, we had three calls almost the same day that came to us. And we knew, hey, Judy, we're moving again. We're not staying in Iowa. We've been here 7 years. We gave God all of our life. And then our kids found out about it. And they said, hey, Dad, Mom, if you're going to leave, we're going with you. And I said, what do you mean? Oh, let's get on the road. Let's buy some RVs and let's run up and down the country and tell people how to live successfully, because we've learned how to do that as a family. For 13 years, we were listening to see if God could say, hey, you're not through yet. You're not through yet. One time I stopped my family on a Sunday, and we were behind financially. Everybody was not giving us enough money. And we were like $10,000 going deeper, deeper. And I said, God, we're going to have to quit unless you give us the money. I mean, that's it. We give you 30 days to give the money. And if you don't have it in 30 days, you know, sometimes you can talk to God just like he talks to you. He says, and at the end of 30 days, God had given us 25 grand. It came from everywhere. And that put such faith in our kids and our grandkids. We're going to stay on the road because God answered our prayer. Give us some money so we can survive.
So he answers prayer in the way of just knowing by our feelings or through our dreams, like Kathy said, or through giving us proof and handing us gifts that lets us know this is God speaking.
Hey, that's still happening today. It never runs out. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, if he promises to take care of you, he's going to do that, and still does.
Do you know he gave me beauty for ashes after I was fired? Later on, I had received the best job I could ever have. I was working for the Lord, and it was such a blessing. So God's there. He's there. Amen. And he loves you.
You guys have a great story. Giff and Kathy, they have an incredible story. And when I met up with them by coming and accepting the task of being a chaplain here, you guys became the president of the whole situation. And we began to see the wealth of what you had in your heart first, and then in your brains. You're very intelligent people, and you've been around the world, and you know how to talk. And so this means a lot to you. God has communicated to you. You know, it'll be an amazing story to know how in the world you ever came out of all that you've done in your life and become the president of WPFG.
That'll be a story into itself someday, won't it? We'll have to maybe we'll share some airtime on just how all that came to be. It was a developmental process. And you're right, it's extensive, and the Lord works in mysterious ways we never know. Do you think I came to this area expecting to be president of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio? No, that's not how it started out at all. But God communicates with us, and that's what we're talking about right now, communication, and how does God communicate with people? Well, there's a lot of scripture about that. How about 1 Samuel chapter 3, what does it say? And ere the lamp of God went out into the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord came and stood and called at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 3 and 10. You see, and there's a lot of scripture about how the Lord communicates. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Out of the cloud? That's Mark chapter 9, verse 7. John 16, verse 13 has a lot to say about that. Look that one up. Hebrews chapter 1, see what it says there. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuses him that spake on earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 reads that way.
And then in Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Oh, and that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it?
I'm thinking of the people who listen, who are listening now. How many homes are we into, and how many people are there that are struggling with what God is asking them to do? And they're saying, God, I can't do that. I can't, I'm too far into what I'm into. And these people are troubled. They can't sleep at night. They might as well have somebody come yelling, Samuel, Samuel, in their house, because they don't know what to do. And they're saying, you four people that are on WPFG right now, you're saying that it's so easy to trust the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Maybe you're here with us today, my wife Judy. I'm going to ask you to just say a brief prayer for those who are listening right now to say, God, I'm in such turmoil as to what I should do. Can you do that?
I would love to pray for folks, Dave. Heavenly Father, your word tells us that anything we ask in your name shall be done. So, Lord, we're asking for those that are listening out there in listening land of WPFG who are down today. Their spirit seems to be dwindling. I just pray right now, Lord, because your word tells us to, that your Holy Spirit would just go into their hearts, into their minds, and suddenly they will just say, oh, I feel so good in my heart. It must be you, Lord Jesus. And Father, it is you. Thank you, Lord, for holding these people close, wrapping your arms around them, lifting them up, oh God, into your presence so that their spirits can soar. We thank you for that right now, Jesus, for being with them, and you will continue to be with them. Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen.
I think we got lost in all the questions. Well, I don't even know whose turn it is anymore.
Quite stirring. Well, I'm going to throw a question at you, Dave, and I know you have a stack of notes there, so you should have some good answers for this one. How does a person become good enough to live with God? Now, that's a tough question.
We raised our children with that kind of an answer, okay? Every morning I woke up with my children standing by my bed, quoting the scripture and praying, and then they were off to school. And here's what they said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3. Did you instigate that, baby? did you put that into our kids every day to come into my bed? I'd get home at two in the morning, three in the morning, four in the morning from a concert far away, and they'd still sneak into my bedroom and tap me and say, "Dad, Pappy, Pappy, we're gonna pray before we go to school. We want to quote you a scripture we learned."
And we sure did not let our children know, nor did we believe, that you had to be at a certain level of good enough to meet God. No, you let God come into your life, and then He begins to shape you and mold you into His image, so that then you feel, I don't know if you ever really become good enough, but in God's sight, He's pleased with the way you are and how you're living your life connected to Him. So you don't become, wait until you're good enough. No, you come to God and He makes you what He wants you to be.
You can't do enough to be good enough. He wants you to share His time, to love Him, to have faith in Him.
And that helps our testimonies, because then we can say to other people, let me tell you what God did for me and how He helped me become better than I used to be.
He wants you to be His child.
Absolutely.
And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We pushed our children to do exactly that. So I like the fact that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd like to ask the next question.
All right.
You guys ready for this? What is God's perception of the family?
Well, let's see. Deuteronomy has some words about that. Proverbs does. Let's take a look. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy chapter 6 reads that way. And there's some others. Proverbs says a very, very, very nice verse on chapter 22, verse 6. It says, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is really a good perception of what God thinks of the family.
Then in Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, he says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
I think, sweetheart, that this is kind of your kind of a question. You stayed behind. You took over. When I left the house, you became boss. As soon as I came home, I opened the door to come in. I was the boss, and you learned how to do that. And you were good at it with the children. I appreciate what you did.
Well, sometimes, Dave, that was a little hard for me. I was raised by a single mom who put a lot of, she just had a lot of strength. And then when I got married, I tried to be like my mom. And so I became very strong, what I thought I needed to do. And so all of a sudden, I was in charge. Boy, I could do this and that. It was my decision. And then you would walk in the door and be home for 3 days after being gone for 3 weeks. And I had to turn everything over to you. And that was so hard for me to say, whoa, what am I going to do here? But I also know that God expects us to be submitted to our husbands. And I knew I had to come under your submission.
It worked. It worked. It made us a what I call a successful family.
And every once in a while, I did kind of give you a little help along the way, right?
You know why I like those stories from you two? You've had a very, very exciting life. You've done everything there is to do in the eyes of the Lord on the face of this good old earth. it's nice to hear that you had some human transitions the same as the rest of us. So you're not pretending to be any better off than we are because you had a spiritual life since the day you were born. You've dedicated your life to working for the Lord, yet you still have the same kinds of experiences that the rest of us have. It's good to hear those kinds of witnesses, and that's what our listeners like. They know that we are speaking from the heart because we don't pretend that we're any better than they are. We're all the same here. There's another line that talks about how special this family unit is. And I'd like to read that one, if I could, from the 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It reads, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So Jesus is telling us straight out that the family unit is very, very important. And he has to take care of his family. Those were words that you alluded to earlier, Judy, that I said we'd be talking about it later on. And that is exactly right. It's the responsibility of the head of the household, but they share equally. Husband and wife become one. So there's never one that is a master over the one. But I like to think of it as a 51%, 49% deal. You know, we can't have 50-50. We have to have a tiebreaker. But the lady is right there and is serving the gentleman the same as the gentleman is serving the lady. The scriptures are very clear about that. And I thank you for sharing that thought process. Let me share another good one at you, Dave. What is God's perception of time? That's a good question, isn't it?
There's a lot of good questions about what God's perception is. How about what is his perception of time, of marriage, of children, of the government and authority? I mean, we could talk on, why don't we get our program for 25 minutes? Why don't we make it an hour and a half? We could cover it if we took all these questions. Life is full of questions. It's every day we get looking for answers to questions that come. We're down to a couple minutes. Okay. Time. God appoints everything for seasons. The sun knows when to go down and come up, and the moon for the same reason, and everything has a season. Everything under heaven has a time. And we who are with him, we can't fathom what 1,000 years is anymore. We're gonna be in heaven for, how many millions of years after we go to heaven? We're not going to just be there for a couple of weeks on vacation and come back to where we were. We are there forever.
I have a little story I'd like to share with you. I'll try to make it as quickly as I can. When I was 14 years old, I had appendicitis, and I was at a hospital in Harrisburg, Polyclinic Hospital. And I was another gentleman. I was 14, and he was 19. And he was in for, I forget exactly the reason. His name was Nace. Mr. Nace, I called him, and it turns out later on I've met him, and I found out his name is Lester Nace. But I asked him, I said, you know, the scriptures say that the world is only going to live for 2,000 years, so that means I will die before I'm 53 years old. That's as old as I can get. I was born in 47. And he said, well, Giff, you should have kept on reading. He says, because go back in 2 Peter, it says that the Lord 1,000 years is equal to one day, and one day is equal to 1,000 years. And you know, I never forgot that. That relieved some major anxieties I had. And by the way, here we are some years later. I am now 69 years old, and I cited an example that happened to you when I was 14. I met that man. I didn't remember his last name. I just remembered his last name was Nace. To remember who he was or what he looked like. But it's found out he lives in Duncannon, and he and I have met again and discussed the fact that we were in the hospital ward at the same time at the same place. And in fact, and he and I had that discussion.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing that, you know, some 50 years later you have a conversation and you discover that this guy was with you all along? Tremendous person. David, we've about exhausted our time. Would you share a closing thought with our listeners today? We thank the ladies for being here and what they've contributed to the program. But you close for us, please.
These ladies didn't even know about this. Judy was riding with me today, and I asked her if she wanted to come down here, and she said, yeah, I'll go with you. And boy, we met Kathy, and all of a sudden, it was four instead of two. And I want to thank you ladies for coming and being a part. You speak words of wisdom. Both of you have raised families and are happily married and in church. And you're just, responsibility is yours in every facet of life that turns to God. So that's my point for today. I think that we have covered pretty good. God talks to us, and he communicates with us, and he will you too, if you let him. Judy?
Be blessed today, folks. We're so glad you tuned our way.
And stay in love with God. This is Kathy saying goodbye.
Thank you, friends. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye for now.